with the pussy. Nothing wrong with the pussy.
It's a nice camera.
Shout out. That's dude. Shout out to my political connects.
Dude said I don't know about tech. Has a whole like
it's an eight camera switcher.
Like what the fuck? Like you're bugging, bro.
Yeah, it's eight cameras, bro. Yeah, but yeah, I flew all this down to Dreamville. I bought a travel backpack for all this stuff, bro.
Walking through the heat with a suitcase OD. To the artist compound.
I put it in a Boz's trailer, didn't touch it for the whole weekend.
Dude was like, yeah, I'm gonna do content out here.
I didn't shoot a single thing.
Like, what got drunk? Like, fuck you. Fucking look, I fuck with the ambition of it all.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, we were wilding. Rolling start. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this is episode 27 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. I have one of my closest friends in the industry, in this game, the face and voice of Complex. Everything he says is the definitive stance of Complex Media. And who's the parent company?
Let it be known right
who's
now.
The parent company?
Network. We are
network controlling. And network. It's not just Complex. It's and network. Everything he says on here is the golden word of not only Complex, but network.
Every thought is my own. Any opinions shared.
Jordan from Complex.
Finally made it. Something wrong with the podcast.
Oh, Jesus. You may have seen Jordan in every mosh pit of every concert you've ever been to. On the field of every festival, doing incredible extensive interviews. And not only being the face, but also you're really good at editing.
Thank you for that.
I know that means a lot to like someone that, because a lot of people can do the talent side, but that editing this shit is a whole nother.
Listen,
this crazy
CapCut fries me every time I jump in there.
Yeah,
every time.
But you got it. The best way to become a weapon is to know every fucking part of the gun. Like you,
what
a you
intro.
Got. Yeah,
what
man, intro. You're really my guy, bro. Like yeah, I consume a lot of your content, so I always get happy when I obviously follow you and see your content. Obviously following Complex, but also just like bouncing on the Explore page and seeing you just like, you know, break down some like shit that I wouldn't have known otherwise. I mean, that was great.
Well, thank you, man. And I'm glad to finally be on Something Wrong with the Podcast.
Yeah.
Really a self-starter, a do-it-your-own guy.
That's right.
Like,
that's
I'm joking about the tech setup, but it's genuinely impressive that you're able to figure all this shit out.
Yeah. I know. I learned just the little bit I need to know, and I will have no motivation to learn anything more beyond this point. But we are here. You are the first guest in my new studio, which we just established used to be my former bedroom.
Insane,
which
by
is,
the way. It's
yeah.
Like, I don't know if you can really get the scope. It looks like it's very cozy setup, but imagine a bed in this space.
Imagine having the option to have a much larger bedroom and choosing the one that could be a walk-in closet.
I feel like that's trauma, but like yeah, maybe yeah. Like, well, no. Like that another time.
I have to address my upbringing. yeah, man. So I'm so glad you're here because I really wanted to do the. We had some major music moments over this weekend with the clips. Drake at Wireless and
Bieber
and currently Nicki and SZA, which is like happening right now
actively.
But where should we start? You pick,
man. I feel like let's start with clips, man. Let's get into the clips.
Fuck
shit.
Yeah, clips. So we're about the same age. I mean, growing up, this was like for sure. And then I went to college, met a lot of people from the DMV, and they were like, that was their whole identity.
Yeah.
Hearing them, Malice is 52, Push is what, 48?
Something like that.
Seeing this at this point, not only in like their careers, great, but like their lives, like Malice coming back and Clips, I mean, and Push just going on an insane solo run to get to this point. Because we got to remember when Clips is like 2012, 2013. He was putting out projects that were solo albums. And if you're a hip hop fan, they were cool. But like, he wasn't who he is now.
He wasn't
like this guy that runs towards confrontation, bodies every like he tried it. The Birdman Drake. That was
that's what started it all.
That's what started
Wayne,
it.
Wayne Birdman beef that then escalated to like Drake taking up for it. Yeah, that's what started it all for real.
You could tell he was like pushes. Mindset was like, I'm fishing for someone to bite.
Oh, for sure.
And once you bite, this is my moment.
Yeah.
And he got the right one to bite. Like, it was Drake. And he was like, I'm swinging. Like, I got it.
I mean, but like, okay, hold on. Because I want to say, like, Daytona still, like, stamped. Definitely, though, you're right. Pre-Drake beef, I would say the larger, like, music hip-hop adjacent consumer was not tapped in as they should have to Pusha T, for sure.
The two albums he put out before Daytona were, if you're a hip-hop fan, okay. But yeah, they weren't, yeah, you know,
yeah, yeah, fair,
monumental albums at
There's
all.
A lot of features, a lot of good music shit, Kanye shit.
The good music run kind of gave, I mean, not kind of, gave him another bump, being named the president of good music, too, TBT. As well. Like, he carried his own on the compilation album. Like, he did his thing, but it just wasn't the Daytona.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Daytona was definitely, like, a significant, especially, like, in... like he was older at that time, like being in his later years,
yeah,
it's like second half of his career really rebirthed his shit, for sure, for sure.
And Kanye committed to, hey, we're doing this run of albums, they're all going to be x amount of time, I'm producing all of them. And I mean, that's changed everything for Bush.
Yeah, that, like the Daytona run, the beef, and then even just like what was his last joint called?
Was it Almost Dry?
Almost Dry.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that album. Great, like, follow up.
I went to the fucking album release of that in the city, and he had a mountain of coke. Like, I'll never forget. It was like middle of the city, a mountain of coke behind the DJ booth. So the DJ was like on a mountain of coke.
Yeah, of course.
And the Knicks were playing. I think this was like around, it had to be like either playoffs or maybe it was regular season, because like, were the Knicks in the playoffs at that?
Oh,
like around, that was year? What was that, 2022?
I don't.
Probably not. But yeah, they, right. I remember, no shade, no shade. Relax. Look, this is what updated, because Jesus and Mero were watching the Knicks game, had their phone propped on the mountain of coke.
Oh, I feel like I've seen this video.
Yeah, like,
of them,
there's,
like,
there's definitely
something. Yeah,
footage of this, and before Push had come out to play the album. But yeah, like that, it, you know. He builds worlds, but the clips shit is like
this rollout, man.
I mean, yeah, bro, there's real rap shit, bro. Like, real, you know, it's so funny though, because it's like I'm seeing, obviously, like, and dutifully, everyone giving so much credit to them for like, oh, yeah, what an amazing rollout. But in reality, bro, like, these niggas are reinventing the wheel. They're just kind of doing what artists stopped doing, which is like talking in general. You know what I mean? It's like they went to every single media outlet, podcast, almost every podcast, like,
yeah, the ones that matter.
All right.
No, I'm serious. They went to the one. What?
They went to like essentially every media tentpole.
Yeah.
And talked, even if they were repeating themselves, even if they were stirring shit up, it was like, it felt like what's been lacking as, like, you know, media has changed and like, you know, streaming becomes king, which, funny enough, Push has a bar on the album about, like, what he said, you stream kings can't fit a crowd in there. Like,
yeah.
Like, what a bar. But yeah, it's
hard
funny.
Hard tickets always speak.
Exactly. So, but it's like, you know, they didn't reinvent the wheel, but it's funny because we kind of lost sight of that. And it's dope to see people appreciating that shit that was getting lost in the sauce, you know?
I mean, you're right. Like, they did a masterful job of, I mean, it sounds like we're giving them so much credit for just doing what anybody could do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what separates them is, like, they're not internet personalities. They're not, like, omnipresent online. You don't hear from them. You hardly see them together. Like, you can tell they went from the studio to the rollout. Like, yeah, there was no, you know, Push can do his own thing, Mal's can do his own thing. Like, they rolled with it together as brothers and in the spirit of the album. And they, most importantly, let the fucking music speak.
Type shit.
Which was incredible. But throughout the rollout, you could tell they had a formula. Pusha would go out there, stir up a little, say something, take a shot at Travis, whoever it is. And then Mal's would just react or laugh or speak only to the music itself. Like, yeah, they figured out their formula. And, like, it's like Pusha was a dynamite. Like, he's like the bomb, the uranium or the bomb, pick whichever two of the analogy in itself. But then you add malice, that just is the catalyst that then allows that to become what it ultimately, what it can be. Because alone, Push is great, but he also, not only, he had his brother there to, you know,
yeah,
back him up and be like, yeah. Like,
yeah, and I think it's even also impressive how, like, malice wasn't cursing. He still is, like, not cursing on any of the tracks, you know, like, still very devout. So he hasn't changed. Like, he's still true to, like, why he left the game and has come back, but it still maintained those beliefs, which I think is super dope. He talked about it in one of the 1,000 interviews they did about just, like, how man, I wish I could remember which one it was, but it was like just talking about how like he might have been Budden, like how he didn't need to change, like he's not, his faith is now a part of like what he raps about, and he's able to seamlessly integrate it with his life without it being like, you know, when people go to God and then their raps become ass because it's like now they're kind of either overcompensating or have completely changed their lifestyle and yeah. it's reflected in their bars. It's like Miles can still rap about coke but also like be super devout, religious, not cursing the lines.
Well, what's cool, like to what you're saying, like even when they are talking about drugs on this album, they're not saying in it, they're not addressing drugs in a way of like an aspirational type way. It, they're talking about it more as a like a shell of the past. Mm-hmm. So even, I mean, my favorite track on this, The Birds Don't Sing.
Oh yeah, same.
Bro, I, talking about this rollout, I watched that Tiny Desk and they gave like, you know, they explained, hey, this was Push said, it's my last conversation with my mom. Malice is my last conversation with my dad. And here's the art that came from those two moments. And I had no idea what to expect because I'm thinking clips, like it's going to be, you know. I'm sure. But like, how emotional is this going to get? I cried it right here watching it on these my speakers here.
Real.
And then what's the biggest mind fuck is that song ends and then
it's changed,
it goes lips. Into
yeah crazy.
Grinding on the tiny
oh,
desk
on the tiny desk
on the tiny
I'm hearing
the doof, 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 and I'm like wiping tears from I'm like Birds Don't Sing. I'm like I'm literally crying listening to them like from ghetto to ghetto back. I'm like, why am I crying right now?
Yeah, it's funny though because it's like the same type of shit on the album where it's like you start with that, which yes. is like beautiful fucking song, my favorite song also.
Yeah,
beautiful fucking song. And then you go right to Chains and Fucking Whips.
Yes,
it's like the
God. I need a fucking minute.
Oh God, it's like why am I now hearing like, all right, like I'm not ready for this Chains and Whips. I'm like, yeah. I wasn't ready, but it's like, yeah, I think the production is beautiful. And you know what's so funny? It's like something I haven't seen people talk about, but it's like when you listen to so much music, especially like I listen to so much like underground rap and just like a whole bunch of like kids who rap. It's like. Hearing how well engineered and mixed and mastered this album is, it's like I'm in the studio. I can barely hear a breath in between each bar. The beat, like playing that shit in your headphones, you just can tell it's expensive. Like Pharrell does not, like when Pharrell said they sanded this shit down, you could tell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Bringing up the Coke bar earlier, this is the line I was trying to find from Malice. He said, see, mine made sure he had every bass covered, referring to his dad.
Yeah.
See, imagine his pain finding bass in the cupboard. Mm. Like, that's clearly a Coke bar, but I just got the chills like reading that line.
Yeah.
You're seeing it from a reflective place now in a place of growth where as a younger 20, 25, 30 years ago, that would be a braggadocious bar. We used to hide Coke in our parents' crib.
Right, and now
it's like we upset our rock, our dad, who took us on fishing trips, who, you know, loved our mother, who raised us, who was actually a father to our friends. Like, it's such a mature way to reflect on your past life.
That was a bar. You said we affected our rock? Hold on.
What? Hold on.
But that's a fact, though.
Yeah.
But it's even funnier, though, because it's like they reflect growth, but also still, like, appease their base. Like, they did a... Again, showing how crazy the rollout has been.
Yeah.
Even they took it a step further. I think like it was this past week or last week. They went on Hip Hop Heads Reddit, the Hip Hop Heads Reddit thread, and
the Q&A.
Yes, they were like, ask us anything and we'll answer it.
Great.
And somebody, I saw a screenshot, somebody was like, should I sell Coke?
Yes.
And he was like, Push was like, tomorrow.
Like, yeah, and Malice said like, if you want to drive the same car I drive,
exactly, which is just like so fucking funny. And it's just, it's like they know how to feed their base.
Yeah,
and not for nothing, and I'm not a numbers guy, like I'm really not
not at all.
I'm not a first week sales, I'm not that type of guy, but it's dope to see that the projected numbers as of the recording of this came out like today or yesterday.
90, yeah,
which is like really 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 fucking good.
It's incredible
for a 2025 Clips album to sell 90k, and like a large part of that was probably like physical sales. Like,
yeah,
that's some aspirational shit.
And what's cool for me that I love is like you're seeing online via, you know, comments on YouTube or any of these outlets that they've hit during this rollout, The our generation and older, like yeah, I was middle school, like when Mr. Me Too and all that. I remember my dad bought like In My Mind and like all that, like even like NERD, Pharrell shit, like that whole era. And I'm having that nostalgic kick.
Yeah.
And the older heads are having that like, damn, we used to be outside with that. But now what I sell as a teacher, dude, I can't stop help but thinking about like the youth and the younger kids. Yeah. I think it's so cool that this is their first like injection of a Clips album. Really? And they get to experience this new album for the first time, probably discovering Clips for the first time, and then also going back and doing research.
And then now seeing all this.
Yeah, be like, oh, that Pusha guy is the guy that maybe they were old enough to understand what happened in 2018. But if not, guess what? They can learn about Pusha T's solo career. They can learn about Pharrell's early like shit. You know, like I think it's such a cool learning moment to drop an incredible album and then give the kids the ability. I've been listening to Virginia's on the Tiny Desk. I've been listening to Virginia, like all the early albums. I'm like, damn, I just gotta start listening to this shit again.
Yeah, and like you know, not to have everything go back to Drake, but it's like there's a reason why.
But it's a part of the story.
Yeah, no, but not even that. It's like there's a reason why on Duppy Freestyle, Drake says that he had a microphone that Push had signed.
Yeah.
Because Drake was still a rap nerd when he was like first coming up, and he admired and idolized the Clips and Push.
Still is a rap. You don't lose that.
Yeah, facts. Still is a rap nerd for sure. But it's like, it shows that they had been the shit.
Yeah.
And now, like you're saying, like a whole new generation is being introduced to them with this like really, really well-crafted hip-hop album. It's like, this is some real rap shit. They didn't fucking go, and I wouldn't have judged them for it, but they didn't like tap like a you know, a pop star. They didn't get Sabrina Carpenter on the shit, and I love Sabrina Carpenter. But it's like, they didn't try to like...
Yeah, they didn't like sell out for the now.
Yeah, they didn't try to bleed into... And shit, Def Jam dropped the asses. So this is essentially...
over that Kendrick verse.
Yeah, so this is essentially an independent album that is about to sell 90K and shows us like when you really dive deep into yourselves, deep into the art, and then also into just like feeding your fans by like, not with just the music, but communicating with them. Because also I think that why people resonate so much with this rollout is because rollouts like this worked in the past.
Yeah.
When artists didn't have social media, so the only way you would learn about them is via these interviews. And Push and Malice don't really, like, they'd be on social, but like they don't share as much as the current day celebrity or artist.
No.
So it's like you're learning about this process, you're learning about the creation of this album through these interviews as what happened back in the day, rather than watching it on IG Live like that happens now. You
know, I learned more about Malice in this than I ever, and Push. I mean, obviously we knew more about Push just because he's more outside, but like there was so much I learned about Malice. I do want to ask you, because you had the opportunity to sit down with them a couple years ago.
Yeah, no, I sat down with Push like 2 years ago.
And what was that for? Which event was that? Or was it for...
That was for...
He did that show at Pier 17 or something like that?
That show, but I sat down with Push like to promote like a fucking... He was promoting like some... he's a big tennis fan. Big tennis guy.
He has that Tiafo line.
Yeah,
only back and forth we talk is Tiafo at the Open or something like that. I was family, like, oh, he likes Tiafo too.
Yeah, his family's big into tennis. And so I was able to rap with him about... It was for that, but then we talked about music shit. This was like, 2 years ago? But yeah, just super attentive, you know? Like super intentional with every word. And Malice, as you see in these interviews, like Malice is just like a listener.
Yeah.
Like
super. He's so attentive.
Yeah. Like, just like listens, speaks when he feels like he's adding something to the conversation. Push leads most of these conversations, but they're brothers. So it's like they've been doing this their entire lives. It's not a surprise, but it's just really refreshing. I think that's what this all is. It's just like really in a time where it's like music is dropping all the time and it's like an album will drop and it'll be cool. But then it'll be like next week and it's like, okay, what's the next thing? This was like a pause. And it was like you were able to eat your food slowly. It wasn't just like eat the burger, go to the next dish in the buffet.
And I think this is going to be one of those albums where you see like coming working on a label, like there's the first week sales and then there's usually like a 60% dip on the second week. I think this is going to have maybe like a 20 or 30% dip. I think this will have a really strong week two numbers. Not again, not the numbers matter. But I think what that is a testament to more people through this rollout and just through like the chatter of clips being back are going to want to discover and listen to it more if they've already listened to it, or share it with people and they'll take. I think this is going to just cumulatively like get a lot of streams and a lot of plays as it stays, as it just continues to live. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're right. This isn't like popcorn. Like, I heard it week one. Eh, it was mid. I'm never going to come back. Like, there's a lot of bars, metaphors, mm-hmm. things that I'm just hungry to even discover, because you can't get it all in one go with these guys. And I've been listening to it since the day it came out. And what are we now? Almost a couple days out from a week. I have noticed it's still going every day. I'm not going to stop. So do you have any favorites on here? I got the track. I'm trying to see what we got.
So definitely Birds Don't Sing.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
The Mike Tyson blow to the face beat is
that's crazy. The FICO beat. The FICO shit is crazy.
Fucking nuts.
Honestly, so far ahead, I just love the sound of the outro.
Yeah.
I'm not so far ahead. By the grace of God.
Yeah.
I love just like how that the beat on that outro plays. It goes, I feel like, perfect. It's very like gospel-esque, plays in perfectly with the intro.
Yeah.
I fucked with Tyler's verse on POV Heavy.
I love the what he said, pushing dirty white like mosh pits. You know he's been I'm so happy he was able to get his, I mean that's like that has to be a bucket list moment.
Even how he closed his verse, like, you know, I'm coming to learn that like I'm outgrowing my heroes, which is probably like a Kanye bar.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, Tyler is also one of those guys who's super attentive.
Yeah.
And intentional. So it was dope to have those moments. Like every feature on this, very intentional. Like, except for Nas.
I could have done without that one.
It was only just because like
I honestly could have done without that one.
It's funny because I like the beat switch. Like I like that beat he's rapping on, but it's like I felt like it was just kind of out of place. And I felt like he wanted to just pop his shit of like, he hasn't like given us a verse in a minute.
Yeah.
And he like the verse, he's like, you know, like I'm showing y'all, like, you know, the old heads can win Grammys. I'm like, facts, Nas, but like, why are we talking about that right now? Like, I feel like this was like a place where you could plug in where he wanted to get his shit off.
Yeah.
Which, salute, I'll never shit on a Nas verse, especially after like all the Jim Jones Nas discourse that was happening 2 weeks ago, where niggas was really trying to act like, and no disrespect to Jim Jones, but it's like, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, what the, like, there was a moment where I really had to like, I think I made a video of it, it's like, what the, and mind you, I've interviewed Jim Jones, salute to the Harlem legend, but what the fuck are we talking about? Yeah. And Jim Jones is a master of the attention economy. Like, he knew what he was doing. I don't know what he was promoting in his Nas slander rollout.
Yeah, just attention.
Yeah, but he did it to a T, but it's like,
yeah,
I guess maybe this was Nas's subtle remind. I don't know. But it's, I didn't need that verse, but still.
I think it's clear it didn't connect because you don't even see people talking about like,
yeah, yeah, the Nas.
It's not about, sure. Yeah, like, and I know just obviously not, I don't even need to preface this, but like it just wasn't, yeah. If we're going to remove a verse from this album, I think that would be
type shit
the one to do. I just wanted to, one more before we could push on to the next album, but like just even down to like the nerd moment of me, the Let God Sort Him Out, and then to as the title of the whole thing, and then to go with the opening track being the Birds Don't Sing. I could talk about that song for so long.
Yeah.
But like, if you look at the breakdown of what that song is, it's God sorting out their mother and father. And it's like, it flows into, no, literally, it's like it kicks off the, because I feel like people are going to talk about it's like, oh, that Coke bar, this reference, that. It's like, yes, but there is such a deep meaning onto what that term means specific to them in their lives. Like, mm-hmm. You don't lose your parents 4 months apart from each other and not have that dominate your psyche in your creative process throughout for this sure. entire, you know, journey. So I just think it's really cool that they, you know, I think it's brilliant. People, I've seen some people say, I wish I wasn't the opening track because mm-hmm. it doesn't really, they're like, it might set an inappropriate tone of the album, but I think it couldn't have set a more clear tone of what they're trying to get across with the title of the album itself.
And plus, just as this being their like return as the clips, and having that be the first song where they're both speaking about their two separate perspectives and experiences, finding their parents passed away. It's like, it shows you where they are in life and shows you how they're still, how those two stories live seamlessly in this song, the same way that these two people who are different, Push and Miles are very different humans, can still live seamlessly as the clips.
Push is evil.
Listen, he is like, I don't know if you've seen Superman, but it's like, he's, Lex Luthor is a good villain, but like Push is very much like Joker. I remember that's what he told me. I've interviewed Push like actually a few times, and when I interviewed him before It's Almost Dry came out, he said he was playing the Joaquin Phoenix first Joker in the background of the studio.
It's a great movie.
He had Pharrell just playing that in the background while they were recording.
It makes sense.
Yeah, because he was like that. I mean, he even has like that Joaquin Phoenix Joker. He has some bars of that in It's Almost Dry. So
yeah,
very different people, but living seamlessly together in that project. Great project.
Hell of a project. Let's carry on with the next big release this past weekend. Well, whatever this comes out. Swag.
Bieber.
Biebs black. Biebs is black and back.
Bieber.
I wouldn't even call it a rollout, but based on his social media presence, I thought this would be a little more hip hop influence, like a la Journals. But well, first of all, what would you rank out of 10 the Clips album?
Oof. I've been seeing the numbers flying around. I would probably give it like a 9.
That was mine, yeah.
Yeah, because like, you know, 9. I'm not really skipping any songs.
No.
There's definitely like, you know, like the Nas shit, but I still like the beat, so I still listen to that song completely. Yeah, like, it's really, it's really good.
Yeah, 9. All right, cool. We can get right back into Bieber. So Bieber, he blessed us with 21 tracks. 54 minutes of tight music. It's very much that the McGee, clearly. I mean, I hope he's got a good pub split, because Bieber basically just took an album from this guy. And that's not an insult. Like, that guy's a freak producer and guitar player, and I love when a great guitar player and producer links up with a great vocalist. So
facts.
Not mad at what they put out. I really, really like this album.
Yeah, I think that it's like, you know, I saw like obviously when first of all, shout out Rennell Medrano, who shot the cover, or who shot the alternate covers of Bieber with his baby, she shot the Kendrick Lamar Mr. Morale cover.
I caught a viral tweet off that.
Oh, well, look at you. Yeah. What was the tweet?
I'll show you. fuck? Yeah, no, it's still going. I tweeted this.
Like, Morale and the Big Steppers for White People. Now, literally, though.
But it got 6,800 retweets, 87,000 likes.
So you caught the vibe. 4 million
impressions.
Same creative behind some light. Same creative behind that image. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that was before they said, well, it's the photographer from.
But that's what I'm saying. You already caught that vibe.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, one common thread I've been seeing in some of the discourse around it is it feels like a matured Journals. It feels like a, like.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm somebody who Journals is a classic. Stamps.
True.
Stamps.
Big facts.
And this is kind of like his.
He likes it for the R. Kelly verse. That's
ice,
what.
True.
Words of complex media.
Imagine. But no, it's like, I feel like he obviously has a child. He's faced public scrutiny for like nothing really, which is for like perception, which is what he addresses, which is one of my favorite aspects. That therapy session skit with Drewski.
You like those?
Well, I like that one. I think that
when the Are You Black thing.
No, that I didn't like that one. Yeah. I didn't like that one, but I did genuinely enjoy the therapy session one.
Okay, that's fair.
Because it was like, even though Drewski, I feel like, was talking over him just a little too much in the skits. I was like, let Bieber talk. He was like, I feel like Bieber was like, I feel like people keep asking me if I'm okay when they're just asking me that based off of how they perceive me on social media. And it makes me feel like I'm the only one that's either going through something or that I'm going through something when I am okay.
Yeah. And it's like, if enough people are asking or have that concern, then it's like, well, shit,
am I okay?
Am I the one missing out? Even though it's my life, am I missing something here?
And so. I just love that he addressed that, because that was obviously... You know, I was definitely one of those people who also was like, this album is either going to, before when he announced it, shock dropped it, I was like, this is either going to be crack or sound like he's on crack. There's going to be no in between.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's crack, you know?
You know what? Again, not even in the rollout, just Bieber posting on social media and just living his life. The one piece of content that came out about him that gave me concern was when he was working out with Offset.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Damn, no.
You didn't like seeing him next to Offset?
I just didn't like, I was like, well, because this was, that was even before, that was before the announcement of the album, right? Yeah, yeah, that was a tight turnaround. But when the album was announced, I started looping in my mind, like, okay, what content has Bieber put out lately? And I was like, he's been on like his like perceptionally wild shit. And then he did that workout with Offset. They've been seen together a few times. I was like, man, if this is like one of those like Bieber vocals on Amigos album type shit, I'm like, I don't want that. Like, yeah, I didn't. Yeah. So the big blunder for me on this album is, are the Drewski moments, the one in particular. The first one. Might as well be black. Yeah, hit this black one. And mild. Like, cut that. And then the sexy red, the mandated, government mandated sexy red verse.
Stop it. You that don't like Sweet Spot? That's going to be on the radio.
That song is fire. Get rid of her verse, Bieber go again.
Oh my God.
They could cut her verse, loop the hook again.
Listen, Bieber.
She just ruined. And I love Sexy Red. I don't want, I fucking love her as a as an artist, as a personality. I think she's fucking awesome. Not on that song.
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it.
Not on that song.
I feel like Bieber was leading into like, you know, it's so funny.
I love that he's very loyal to her and gives her those looks though.
Real. And
that he's a great person for
but
that.
But that's what's funny to me about this album also is that the features are surprising. It's like Gunna, Sexy, Dijon.
Fire. That Devotion record is into that Dijon album that's coming out soon is going to be nuts.
And of course, as my brother, who as of the recording of this, I interviewed him today, my brother Cash Cobain, on the project. And we, of course, had to talk about, like, what the fuck? Like how did you, like literally, like, I see Cash, I was like, what the fuck?
That's awesome.
Fuck?
I and, love
like,
that.
That's my guy. So I was like, you know, what the fuck? How did that happen?
The Bieber bump is crazy, too. Like, that's a huge...
Dog. And he said that, you know... And this is going to be out on comics by the time fuck this shit comes out. So whatever. I'm going to tell the story. He told me in the interview...
tomorrow? No.
He told me in the interview, like, yo, he had reposted... Bieber had posted Tripping on a Yacht or one of his songs in the background of one of his posts.
Yeah.
Because like, he loves posting rap shit.
He's been posting rap music a lot.
On his carousels. Yeah. So he had posted one of Cash's songs and Cash DM'd him like, yo, like...
Here?
Like, yo, I fuck with you, bro. Like, we should, like, work. And he was... Bieber hit him back like, facts, like, let's exchange contacts, whatever, whatever, which is just so fucking crazy.
I love that.
In himself.
I love that.
They pull up to the crib when he's in New York, when Bieber comes to New York, beginning of the year, he pulls up to the crib, they like work on a few songs, and then nothing for months. Like, they're still cool, whatever. He just, they don't communicate as often. And then like 2 days before the project drops,
yeah,
Bieber hits Cash like, yo, can you just change this vocal a little bit? And he sends it back, and then 2 days later, the album's out. And Cash is like, I didn't fucking know.
No idea what's going on.
No idea he was going to be on the fucking album.
It's like Christmas morning.
Yeah, like, it's just, but like, that's just so dope for someone of Bieber's caliber, of his stature,
yeah,
to show love like that. It's random, but also just like dope to see that he's A, tapped in with the sounds.
Yeah.
And B, is just willing to like, you know, a Justin Bieber placement is nothing to fucking slouch at. You know what I mean?
I mean, I can't, truthfully, in male pop, what's a bigger cosign? I mean, Bieber,
none.
We're kind of having this conversation. It's like, this dude's been famous since he was a child, like since the first YouTube days ever. And like, there is no normal. The kid is impossible for him to live a normal life. So for him to have moments like that, like sincerely connect with somebody, either have them come over, go to their place, record a verse, and like bless them like that. You know what you're doing when you let somebody, you know, get access to your fan base. That's so cool that he was able to do that. Lil B as well.
Yeah,
like,
Lil B.
Like, I think it's, I don't know, man. I really, really like this album. And it's cool to switch between two very different sounds, to go from Clips to Swag and back and forth. These are such different tones.
But you know what I think the thread is? It's like they're both very grounded.
Yeah.
Like the Clips album is very grounded in their reality. And this Bieber album is just super grounded in his. It's like the last song is like a devotional, like you would hear at the end of a church service. Like even the Yukon, which I need the legit version of.
Yeah.
Like I need the normally pitched voice version of Yukon. I've heard like it on SoundCloud, like someone pitched the voice properly. It's fucking crack.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that with the...
I guess that's just where he's at right now.
I mean, he could do whatever the fuck he wants. The opening track, All I Can Take, first listen, I was like, is this a Michael Jackson impression? And not even in an insulting way, because if anybody's going to do a mic impression, this guy's got the voice to do it. But he's even doing like the, like,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
Like, I was waiting for that. Like, I was waiting for something. Yeah. Like, but like, he, I mean, you could tell, I don't know, like, you're right, like, it's mature. I will say, lyrically, I wish he talked about being a father a little bit.
Fair.
Like,
fair,
there's not sure. much of that. He's very much, I mean, it's funny. We talk about Chance getting killed for the I love my wife shit.
Yeah.
That's all Bieber talks about is his wife.
Like, I mean, but, because it's coming back around. People are growing the fuck up.
Being faithful is cool.
Yeah, like, it's like people are growing the fuck up. But yeah, I did, especially seeing those like images of him and the baby.
Yeah.
That were like, not, didn't end up being the cover, but probably our alternate covers. And not hearing a lot about fatherhood was interesting. But I'm also like not fully, in my mind, I'm not putting it past him to drop something else before the year's over.
I think he's kind of on that type of time too. Because like, I think the pressure's off him. He put out a great album. And he's been, I mean, how many years since, what was it, Changes was the other one?
Or Purpose? Or, no, I don't know. No, I think it was
Because he dropped, yeah, that's the one where fucking, what's it called, on Peaches.
Oh, yeah, that was like 2022. Two or 21.
Yeah. Not even 21. So, like, he's got the pressure of, like, taking time away. Like, you know, what's Bieber kind of... So, and now I think you're right. Like, he can just... Here's more. Like, I can just freely...
Drop. Don't have to do the rollout.
Yeah.
And even that part of it of going from talking to Clips to this, it's like, Bieber did the complete inverse of Clips. Didn't say shit.
No press.
Shit, just drop that shit.
Yeah.
And granted, because he's fucking Justin
Bieber. That's a luxury of being Bieber,
yeah,
though.
He's Justin fucking Bieber, so he could do those types of things. But it still worked because he spoke through the music. And, you know, I think even, like, looking at... Just doing even a quick scroll of his Instagram... shows that he does not give a fuck, because he's posting.
Bro, he's been in Mallorca.
Yeah, he's been
through his album rollout. He's been in Mallorca because Haley is doing a road rollout for some new like lip prod. Don't ask me why. I know
I was about to say this is crazy.
I know. It's I talk to women, but I know a girl that was out in Mallorca when they were out there. So she was like telling me about like, yo, that we could see like they were across the water from us, and just on the yacht, you know, going from the yacht to the shore, whatever. And she was doing this whole like product rollout. And I was like, this man dropped an album, which clearly his biggest fan base is here, stateside. Yeah, yeah, and he is literally on a boat in Mallorca, just like chilling with his girl.
Yeah, but that shows like he really is grounded in his reality type shit. Like he's not really affected by, even though he reposts so much shit on his story of like people like showing love.
But that's cute though. Like, you know, I love what I'm saying?
He's
like
still tapped into an extent, but it's not like he's not consumed by it, which I think is dope.
You know? I would like to see if Bieber talk about someone that we said didn't do any press or at all. If there's one person I'd love to see do a real interview, I want to hear, like, I would like to hear from him, like, beyond the music.
Let me tell you, as obviously someone in the fucking...
Did you guys reach out?
Listen, look, the Bieber interview is like... It's like Reagan era crack. Yeah. It's like everyone is trying to get a hit.
Catching Mewtwo.
Yeah, it's like I don't know. I don't know when he's gonna do it, if he's gonna do it, who he's gonna do it with. But whoever gets that Bieber interview, that first Bieber interview, are you shitting me?
I'm putting my hat out there. Hi, Bieber. Hi, Justin.
pull up to Something Wrong with the Podcast.
Your album Purpose actually came out on my birthday in 2015, November 13th. Why do I know that? Because I love the album.
Maybe I'll clip this.
Yeah, I would love for you to come on my show. This is going to be a share post with Complex.
I will lie. If we spoke this into existence, it would be insane.
But what would be crazy, though, is like for real, though, and I'm not even, I'm past like making the point of that. Well, no, I'm not. I know, like, people joke, like, it wouldn't be a bullshit, like, you know, what was your inspiration? It's like, I know, it sounds so lame to say, but like, I know that dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know his music. I know him. Like, I can't relate to his life at all. But like, I feel like I understand him to an extent, which would make for great content, I believe.
Okay, you know, heard whatever. The real believer in this motherfucker.
I am. I really do. I genuinely, and now people look at me like, you know, like, people thought it was a joke for years. I really fuck with this dude.
That's what's up, though.
I think he's so fucking talented.
He is.
And to, I'm telling you, bro, to land on your feet when, I mean, a chapter in his life that people have alluded to that we haven't really talked about. Diddy basically adopted him.
Yeah.
He lived with Diddy.
Yeah.
He had a room in that man's home. Imagine the shit that that kid was around when he was a child.
Yeah.
And for him to be A, alive, but B, just like normal. Like they put that kid through the ringer, and we saw the rollout with purpose. Like he's like, I found God. I didn't understand the marketing behind it, but it also seems to be who he is now. Like he's very religious. Like that was his come to Jesus, you know, so to speak, moment. Fucking drops a classic. And now like he's a father. Like it's just like, bro, he should not be where he is. Yeah. I truthfully mean that.
He made it out for sure.
Yeah.
Like the pipeline he was going down
bad
would have ended real bad.
Bad. I mean, I was gonna say look who else is in his position, but nobody's in his position. Like he's always been playing this game alone.
Yeah.
Who can he really lean on?
Yeah, like when you said like who's a better bigger co-sign, like a male pop star co-sign, there isn't one.
No.
Like pop, like we're not talking R&B, we're not talking Usher, like there is no, like, his peers.
He doesn't have a peer.
Yeah, dog. It's, like, it's kind of crazy. And, like, I'm not as tapped in on other male pop stars, so maybe I'm missing.
Bro, there's no, we would know.
Yeah, I mean.
We would know if it was a Bieber-sized artist.
The Kid Laroi is, like, a pop star.
So relax, bro. Like, the Kid Laroi's been hot for, what, 4 years?
I'm just, like, the Kid Laroi is a pop. But, yeah, there's no one of Bieber's caliber.
Bro, Bieber was 12 years old sitting on Ellen's couch.
Type shit. But that's the thing.
With the same haircut as Ellen.
He has a cheat code of. And that haircut coming back, not for nothing. I'm seeing people with that haircut. The haircut's coming back. Like, I can't remember who.
The Leslie swoop?
Not full swoop, but like the white boy. It's like their version of a fade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like
the
white boy mop top, like fake Bieber with a fake fade. Which also, by the way, like,
fake fade.
Not to sidebar, but like, I mean this with my whole chest. Like, white people shouldn't get fades.
I mean, Travis like, Kelce popularized the
like,
fade.
Like, can niggas have something?
No,
like how like
we've established,
like niggas, like why are people are trying to take phase like how they took spices, like y'all need to leave that frontier.
They're not as long as you know. It's really not helping the case, bro. The more these white boys get drafted in the league, they're number one pick. We're seeing AR Austin Reeves in LA. We got Kolek on the Knicks just dropped 23 in like the first quarter in the G League, like. As long as these white boys are hooping and those guys are getting the fades, Tyler Hero, bad example for white boys of fades.
This is the worst gentrification.
They got the battery in their back because they're seeing white boys kill a bunch of dudes on the court. And now they feel like they can hang.
Like, come on, bro. Like, I was on the Jersey Shore last weekend and I'm like at a beach bar and I see this like white nigga with a fade. I'm like, dog, can niggas have anything? Why the fuck we almost got the same haircut?
Grow your shit out, Chad.
Yeah, bro. Like, yo, you don't, like, get a taper. Like, you don't need a fucking fade. Anyway, that's all to say that Bieber revolutionized that mop haircut.
Bieber had the wild on the purpose era when he had the baldy, like, the sides with the long jump. Man.
Look at Bieber's current haircut. You see how he embraces himself? He got a buzz cut. He not trying to get a fade.
Nah.
Be like Bieber. Nigga, just chop your hair off, bro. Be like Bieber, bro.
Be like Bieber.
Shit, I mean, but anyway.
If you were to rank this album out of 10, what do you got?
Who?
Swag out of 10.
Swag out of 10. I'm giving this one. I'm gonna give this one like a cool 8.
Damn. I don't want to sound like I'm just. I said it not on camera or on record, but 8 was my number. I had this conversation with a couple friends earlier. 8. It's an 8. And the faults for me, which I previously mentioned, the Sexy Red verse and the Drewski skits, I could have done without.
Yeah. I would have wanted the UConn.
Yeah, and that. To and that.
Be pitched properly. And I think that some songs could be longer, honestly. Like, I wish that devotional outro was like 3 minutes. Like, I wish certain moments were held longer. And. Yeah, those are my biggest critiques, but I think it's a really, really good album. And I love how these great albums are coming finally, it's paused, at the second half of the year. You
know yeah, I mean? Yeah. And not that he owes us anything, but I love our little theory. If I think he might drop another thing.
Mm-hmm.
More music is welcome from Bieber at any time.
Facts.
If it's more of that sound, because I'm sure the ones that missed the album, probably another fucking exactly. heater.
Like, drop, like, I don't even know if, he, like, that's what I'm saying. I don't even think he's going to do a deluxe thing. Like,
he does,
I feel like
he's never
gonna,
done that.
He's going to just drop another one on your head. Top, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what Bron said, you know what? Here's two more. Here's two,
you know, since you've been riding with us throughout this whole journey.
You know what? Like, here's two more for y'all. Yeah? Inventing I mean, the deluxe, deluxe.
Inventing the deluxe is the funniest. And Taco Tuesday. Man, that guy is a genius.
Listen, bro. He's
innovative.
Goat.
He is the goat. Should we, speaking of goats, should we pivot to...
Oh, you did not just do that shit.
Yeah.
You did not just do
that. He is a goat. He's a goat.
Yes, yes. We're never gonna throw dirt on Drake's name.
No, like never.
Said, speaking of the goat,
he is. Look, I have been so critical, but my criticism comes from a place of I know who this dude is.
That was nasty.
Like, and I hold him to a higher standard than most artists. So I'm critical because I love him.
Yeah, it's
like
for
a
sure.
parent, even Wait. Though he's older than me.
What?
But I'm saying the way in which a parent is critical of their child. Is because they know what they're capable of and they love their child. So the criticism comes from a place of love and understanding that you're not this moment.
This is the most wicked sunning I've just
I ever. Fucking love Drake. I just and this is I'm here to big him up over this wireless shit.
No facts, facts.
This
facts,
was
facts,
a moment where you're like, hell fucking yeah.
Okay.
Three days, three different sounds. My man just said night. Night one, what was it? He did fucking R&B.
Lauryn Hill came out,
and then he did rap,
UK,
and then he did like the Caribbean,
international Caribbean, like, popcorn.
Who else can do that?
Look, that's one thing I will say. Right,
no one can do that.
One of the biggest things that we lost in this rap war was common sense, because it's like I wish that everything wasn't could Kendrick do this? You know what I mean? Like, I wish it wasn't. I wish the common denominator wasn't always bringing it back to that, because I think a lot of the appreciation for what the Wireless Weekend was got lost because motherfuckers was like, Doc couldn't do this while Doc's also on a fucking world tour.
Yeah, so
in
it's like,
Europe.
Who cares? We don't need to bring him up right now.
It's not exactly. It doesn't always have to be, oh, dot, you know, this, that, this versus that. I think that, that week, it was crazy. I wasn't there. I watched it.
It would have been fun. I would have loved to go. He looked very comfortable out there. I think it led to the comment that he made. I think he got a little too comfortable out there saying London artists are better than.
Yeah.
I think that's. I've performed.
He got charged up.
We've been on mics. If you get lost in the moment, sometimes you say some shit that you don't really mean. That's. Stop.
But look, not for nothing, though. Not for nothing, though. I do think that, you know, I too enjoy Drake heavily. I listen to all of his music. I am a fan. I do support still. I think it's also telling, though, that he kind of still has to get over this hump of, like, you know, there was the moment in the crowd.
He's hurt.
He was like, everyone was doing the fuck Kendrick chant. And he was like, well, let's take a shot to that. Like, all right, my nigga.
He's clearly hurt.
Like, my nigga. Like that's obviously.
Yeah.
And it's like he has yet to do his formal U.S. return. He's going on a world Euro tour for the Party album after this. So he's clearly leaning into his international fan base, which he does have a large market in. Clearly,
For sure. Yeah.
Not to damper anything. I went to Wireless last year. It was my first and only time at Wireless. I will say, just as a devil's advocate, that to paint the picture, the Wireless Festival is like, if I were to compare it to a US-sized music festival, it's like maybe half or maybe like relatively the same size as like Gov Ball.
Oh, it's small.
Yeah. It's like
I thought it was much bigger.
You know, it's like I would say like the main stage, like when you saw him walking the catwalk and being able to dap up people in the photo pit, it's because the park where it's at isn't that big.
So
the main stage, like I think there's a clip of like Burna Boy commenting on like he was watching Vybz Kartel perform and he's like, why is it so small? Because that's just how wild.
That's just how it is.
It's not the fault of him or anyone, but it's like that also is, you know, you could for the detractors or whatever, you could play that. You could put that into whatever perspective you want to, but I do think that it was impressive who he brought out, how he set up. I saw somebody compare it to like Prince did this one time where he had three different nights where he did like he was highlighting three different nights of some festival and he had a different set for each night.
Yeah, it was over 60 some odd records in total played. I mean like there's so few people. It's just
different level.
That's just a conversation that we need to be had. I mean, he literally is on a different level. But it sucks that the moments like the fuck Kendrick chant and the the stupid line about him saying the UK rappers are better than the US. Yeah. Like, it sucks that moments like that undercut what that should have been for mm-hmm. Drake in his career. Because that's a monumental moment. He's the first artist to have done that at that mm-hmm. festival. And it just, like, you can't outrun that moment.
Yeah. And not for nothing, we were just talking about, like, massive artists giving out really dope cosigns. It's like, yo, for Drake to bring out Bobby Valentino,
yeah,
to bring out Mario,
Sexy Red came out.
Sexy Red came out. Even just thinking of, like, I listen to a lot of UK rap. Fake Mink, which is like this underground UK rapper,
yeah.
Drake brings out Fake Mink, brings out like some of the underground UK rap guys for his UK night. Obviously, Dave Central C performing Sprinter. And even like what Drake has done for Central's career in terms of that cosign and like
crazy.
You know, that is really, really dope. You know, the love he's showing, whether he's trying to compensate for the fact that some people in the States don't fuck with him right now is whatever, I think. Lauryn Hill going out night one is like insane. Crazy.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. You know
what I mean? Like doing what was it? Nice for What, like doing the same, like Lauren performing with him for Nice for What. I think that was the first time that they did that. That's like, that's some shit that you, again, we normalize because Drake has been doing this shit for so long, but that's not normal. You
know what I mean? No, yeah.
Listen, come on, bro. Can we, like, I was big up.
Damn, has that not been working?
yo, bro. Do you want to say?
Time out, guys. Time out. Oh.
He said,
We're back. No files left behind. We're good. We're rocking. Back to the Drake talk. Sorry, Jordan.
Like we were talking about, though, it's like we normalize the shit that he does because he's been doing it for so long at such a high clip.
Yeah.
That
it's not normal.
It's like LeBron. You know what? Great segue earlier, because it is like LeBron.
It is literally LeBron.
We normalize this wild shit that we will probably never see again.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it for so long.
Greatness certainly isn't given. It is it's always earned. And it's in fields like the arts and sports, longevity is something we're just not used to seeing because it's just, there's always time for the new. And within sports, it's your body wears down and you have to, you know, usher in the next generation. And with music, it's like, more often than not, we just get burned out from your success or just your sound or whatever the case may be. So Drake, like LeBron operating in rare air, which is a perfect segue into Drake getting the tattoo covered with...
Man, you cooking right now, boy. You cooking.
Complex, hire me.
Yo, you're cooking.
When he's sick, I'll do a sick day.
What a segue that was.
But, like, I mean, what do we think? Because, like, I don't want to lead with corny. Because, obviously, we can. But, look, like, what do you think?
What do I
think? I'll play off how you want to take this.
You know, I'll be honest, right? As someone who's listened to a lot of his music, I know that Drake values his friendships and interpersonal relationships more than probably any romantic relationship he has.
I think that's evident. What do they call that relationship? I forget what it is. It's not parasocial. We know what that is, but there's another term where it's particular to men. I think it's like hetero something, where men value their friends and their male relationships far more than any relationship with a woman. Mm-hmm. I forget what the term is, but it's like something. But yeah,
he just clearly loves his brothers down type shit.
Yeah.
So LeBron was 100% in that category.
1,000. Yeah.
So it's like, I feel for him in the sense that he obviously felt betrayed by someone he was super close with, who he had tattooed on his fucking body, and then it's like he doesn't want to seem as tight as he is. Like, I mean, as we recall, like the Fighting Irish freestyle that leaked or whatever, where he, which was all about LeBron. He never says LeBron's name.
Clearly about LeBron.
Yeah, like he doesn't, even in the What Did I Miss joint, like he doesn't say anyone's name. He doesn't say LeBron's name. Doesn't say DeMar DeRozan's name. But he's clearly fucking sick.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you, as such a public figure, navigate a betrayal like that while you're also trying to maintain your ego? I guess you get your tattoo covered with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. A choice.
Was it Shai or was it, what's his name? What was the guy that had number two before Shai?
Who I mean.
Cephalosia.
Nigga, it was Shea.
I don't know. Could have been Stefalosha. I don't know.
This is in a basketball pocket. So Stefalosha. But like, I think that was a choice. But clearly, like, I mean, look, Drake has Harry Potter tattooed on his body. He has the Beatles. He has Katie's number.
What if Daniel Radcliffe just goes, just retweets Kendrick? And Drake has to get like fucking like a Hufflepuff or some shit on his asshole.
But it's like, but it's insane. I'm just gonna glide past that. Like, what? But like, look, he clearly doesn't give a fuck about having other humans tattooed on him. Like, we're past that point.
Yeah, true. Like, yeah.
So that's where I stand. Where do you stand with it?
I agree with you where he values the shit out of these relationships, and when he feels slighted or when those relationships are broken, he's like, I think he's really like shattered internally. And what does an artist do when they're hurt? They fucking make music about it. But then you're obviously at the chastised by flame by everybody. It's like, this is gay, you're a fan.
Yeah.
But tattoo cover-ups are common. They're just usually not, you know, to this extent or get this much news press. I don't know. I want to make fun of it and I want to say it's corny, but that's what makes Drake Drake. Like, this,
I mean,
is
it's still corny. It's undoubtedly
corny. I will say getting the LeBron tattoo, I didn't find corny. I think it's corny as shit to cover it up with just the next hot, like, athlete that's Canadian
type shit.
That's fucking, it's not only corny, it's weird.
It's insane.
That is actually, it's weird. That's really what it is, bro. It's weird. Shit. Do the cover up. Your man pissed you off. Honor that. I'm not telling you what to cover it up with, you know, I kind of am, but like, just to do it just with another basketball player and another man, like, that's, it's weird.
And it's funny to me because through all of this, LeBron does not give a fuck. That's why he went to the pop out, because he doesn't give a fuck.
What was his, as far as we know, as far as like the public attempt, his feeble, like, he posted Drake's Air Force One with the infinity symbol.
That was
his like peace offering, and then Drake was like, no, which I don't blame Drake for being like, fuck off. But like, yeah, this LeBron's not sweating this.
Yeah,
I said this one of like episode 2 or 1 maybe. Savannah's always hated Drake.
Yeah,
she could not be more thrilled that this dude is out of LeBron's life. And I'm sure by this point now, LeBron has seen how much happier his wife is and his home is, that he's like
not hanging out with Drake.
Yeah, he's like, this guy also like isn't not the greatest guy, so like, fuck it, my family's happier, I'm happier, I'm in LA, Kendrick's in LA, like, we're good.
Yeah,
Bron, I'm not beat up over this.
Yeah, Bron is just a grown man with a family.
Yeah,
like, he's not tripping. That's why he went in the first place. I'm sure when he went, he didn't think it would be as big of a deal as it is, which may be slightly naive on Bron's part, or maybe very naive on Bron's part, if he thought, obviously we're assuming here, but if he thought that it wouldn't be a big deal because you're fucking LeBron James. Now, first of all, you can't be low-key nowhere, bro. You 6'7". Like, you can't be sneaky. Even if you didn't dance at the fucking pop-out, it's not like you just go with a bucket hat and be like, is that
LeBron?
It's clearly fucking LeBron.
Oh, look, it's LeBron. Yeah.
Like, you're like, is that LeBron with a costume?
You're not low.
Like, it's like when Drake went to the fucking, you hear the story when Drake went to like a court appearance? Like, he went to like support a friend who was like in court and he had a whole makeup thing done on him.
He went full beat.
He went full beat. Like, he had a makeup artist change his appearance, and like, he gets there and somebody's like, is that Drake in an old lady in an old man costume? Like,
it's like a Jackass character.
Yeah, it's like, bro, you're not fooling anyone. But yeah, it's like, Drake, I just feel like you could have just also just covered it up with nothing. Like, replacing Bron with Shea is insane.
That's crazy. Drawing attention to it, I think, is what we're saying is the fault. Like,
yeah,
if you didn't do anything about it, then we wouldn't be talking about it. That's kind of where I'm at. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Everyone knew you had that tattoo. Everyone understood. It's like, all right, like, you know, people make mistakes, whatever. Like,
that's,
I don't.
Shit.
Yeah.
I guess he's probably also just disillusioned by all this shit. Cause it's like, at this point, after all the level of public scrutiny he's gotten over the last year and a half, he's probably, you know, as the Iceman album title might allude to, he's probably numb to at least some of this shit of like,
oh yeah,
you know, whatever I do, people are gonna shit on me, and like, my Corbett fans give a fuck, and I'm gonna try to act like I don't give a fuck, but I'm gonna just do whatever the fuck.
That not always used to be the case. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago. Drake universally loved at one point.
Facts.
He's for the first time getting in the booth with his back against the wall.
Facts.
Where we said previously, every summer, every time he put out music, he's not fighting, he's not punching up or having to box himself out of a hole. He's actually just creating the next hot sound.
Yeah.
So he has to, like, obviously the music's great, one of the best parts, but it's not just, you don't have to now only prove yourself via the music. You have to like prove yourself as a person, which is new for him because he's never had to do that
type shit. Yeah, his, you know, I don't think his bass is that rattled, but his just like super sweeping influence and like you were just saying, universal love has faltered heavily.
Yeah,
and it's like now, you know, obviously, and as like the rap fans, like I would love to get a super super heavy, just, you know, a whole bunch of Do Not Disturbs, a whole bunch of just introspective versus like,
oh, the, I want that so
the
bad.
Churchill Downs, you know. Oh. Cold Hearts and Heated Floors, No Parental Guidance, I Just See Divorce. Like, I would love some shit like that. And I think we're gonna get a lot of that. Obviously, he's gonna have to feed us with the bops. But like,
does he though? I don't need a fucking...
Well, no, that's how he feels. I'm sure he feels like he has to feed the streets with a bop. It's like...
He got one.
Look, I've... In all of the articles or, you know, reviews I've written about Drake, one thing that I often see is that he is... In every aspect of life, a people pleaser. Like, he has to feed type of fan he has because he has so many different types of fans.
Well, he said that a few times. Like, I can't make the rap album because... Because
I have to feed the R&B fans. And now the dance, like, the house fans. And, like, you know, I felt like Honestly Nevermind was the first album he made for himself because he was in Ibiza. He was traveling Europe. He was listening to this shit. He was chilling with Gordo. Shout out to my brother Gordo. And this
my brother Gordo.
That's my guy. Look,
Look at this. The Hollywood.
The OVO niggas may not fuck with me for
Hollywood.
But you know what I mean?
They don't fuck when they fuck with you.
Listen.
Just reporting, doing your job. You're a fucking enemy. Really?
Yes, actually.
Has anyone pressed you? Is this like a thing or are you just projecting?
No, it's like a thing.
Oh, really?
But look, I haven't refreshed.
You're not good in Toronto?
Shout out to Elliot. Maybe I'm not good in Toronto.
You're not good with Elliot. It's your don't go to Toronto.
I'm sure, look, like, I'm sure the OVO niggas don't not fuck with me. But anyway, the point is he made that house album for himself. So
for sure.
I'd hope that. Great. You know, this is the most stakes there's been around. There's more stakes around this than around Scorpion post-push beef by far.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though he lost that beef also, it's like, I like Scorpion, even though I feel like a lot of people don't like Scorpion. I like Scorpion. I feel like...
Grew on me. I didn't like it when it first came out.
Fair. Like, I love Emotionless. I honestly like Survival, you know, the intro where he kind of addresses shit, like, whatever. I think this album, which hopefully comes out this summer, which I feel like it is going to come out like at least this quarter, is gonna be a lot riding on it, man.
Oh, for sure. I'm hoping it's just a solo. Don't give me another. Yeah, just
fuck part.
What you think of the stunt with the van and shit? We were together when that was all happening.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
You know, this is another like issue I take with Drake right now. It's like maybe I'm in the minority. I hate the whole. Him really trying to lean into the streaming shit.
I do too.
Like, I just think it's like, it's funny because, and not to always bring it back to comparing, but it's like, it's almost the exact opposite of how
clips
rollout went. It's like, you're obviously trying to tap into the youth. You're like dropping like the, what did I miss? Music video was the stream, which might be the first time a music video was a stream that was released as a music video, which was innovative. And I like how, like, you know, he did the van stunt because he wanted to show that the people still fuck with him. He literally touched the streets.
Went home.
Yeah. In Toronto, of course. Yeah. But, like, you know, people storming the van, whatever, which obviously people are going to fucking do. Even if he did that shit in New York, if you saw Drake, if you heard Drake is driving down fucking LES in an ICE truck.
I mean, it would just be him getting stuck in traffic for that
type shit.
An
but,
hour.
Of course, they're going to get swarmed because he's still fucking Drake. But it's like, I wish that he wasn't, you know, the thing about wireless, like, you know, Aiden Ross and like all these fucking
who he's aligning himself with is really says a lot about him,
bro.
His character, it's lame.
He's so whack.
He's going. He's touching like the grifty, like new wealth, pretentious, like the Trump dick suckers. Like to be truthfully honest, like all those guys, the Nelk boys. Like these are the people you're gifting $50,000 Rolexes to. Like I just. To your point with the clips comparison, just let the music be your weapon or just like stick to more traditional routes. You don't want your affiliations to be unless you're those guys. Maybe I'm just pushing the person that I want Drake to be on him. Really? Maybe he just is the, you know, the right wing, like grifty, fucking, you know, problematic, misinformed, miseducated idiots. That if that's your crew. so be it. But like, that's not a cast, or that's not, you know, the group that you want to be associated with if you want to be taken seriously.
That's a fact, bro. And it's like, I mean, this is kind of even leading up to the beef. I always had this take of, I felt like Drake fatigue was building.
Yeah.
Because it became increasingly more apparent that like these very negative takes and songs about women and just like him sharing more of his thoughts. Because Drake's always been apolitical as fuck. So it's like he's never really like lead one way or another, I felt, in most instances. But like For All the Dogs, like you got a fucking song where you're dissing Rihanna.
Yeah.
This stage of the fucking game, dog.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are we doing? And like, even in the deluxe of For All the Dogs, I forget what the name of the track is, but it's like, you know, he's like, people keep asking, why can't Drake make songs like the same old guys? Because I don't know how anymore. Which I think is true. I don't know. I don't think Drake can go back to being the old Drake because his life is so drastically different from when he was coming up. He said so many times how he's so rich now that his music is getting unrelatable. Cause like he's shitting on going to Benihana and shit. Is that just his lifestyle? You
can't do anything.
Yeah, you can't go to Benihana. You can't
stay at a hotel.
You can't get a party bus. Like, yeah. There's mad hotels.
Such a nice event.
That's, yeah, it's like,
love a party bus.
But it's like, that's just, I guess, the perils of becoming as successful as he's become. But as what you were saying, it's like who he's aligning with.
It's a nasty crew.
It's nasty. It's a nasty crew. Like, ew.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I hope doesn't persist, which it definitely will. The only Drake interviews, quote unquote, we have seen have been the steak sponsored Aiden Ross streams.
They're awful.
Bad, bro.
I mean, I truthfully, I don't sit and watch those in full. I catch clips, but even the clips are like
nasty, bro.
It's just him like playing like virtual baccarat or like, you know, roulette, and gambling then like addicts. Yeah, gambling, just addicted as fuck.
Whole to different topic.
You should really figure that out. Yo. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, that's like steak. That's like enabling. It's like, oh, you're addicted to cocaine. Well, here we're Columbia is going to sponsor you. Here's all the fresh cocaine that you could ever ask for. Shit. It's like, bro, like, don't just because there's money on the line, which you certainly do not need. Don't take the bag to fuel your addiction. That's kind of my,
and
that's kind of where I stand on that.
And you know what's so funny? Because like I often see when these conversations come up and people are like, oh, well, like, why do people always criticize Drake's personal choices when it's like, we're not telling Future to grow up or we're not telling so-and-so to change their habits. I hear that, but it's like when your music is so intrinsically attached to your lifestyle,
yeah,
and you make it such a point to live your like to live out loud as you should, as you deserve, that's your right. It's like you also open yourself up to scrutiny and critique. I think that's just that is it. Like Future doesn't really post that much about what he be on type shit.
No. And we also hold Drake to a higher standard.
Exactly.
There's also like with music, there's yeah, a different level of expectation with certain artists.
Yeah. So it's like
it's more of a credit to Drake that we look for him for more. We have him at a higher level. It's a compliment. Like, we want you to be the evolved version of yourself that we fell in love with, but you're kind of reverting at the moment.
100%. So we'll see what happens.
I don't know. I'm excited for the album, but I don't, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Should we talk women now?
Yo, what the fuck?
WNBA.
See, so you went great segue.
Yeah, I had nothing.
Should we talk women?
The WNBA, the WNBA of rap. This is the Nicki and SZA. It's currently happening. So by the time this comes out.
Oh, shit. I forgot about it. Yes.
Who knows what's happening at this point? But like, I can be blunt. I fucking hate Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Be careful now.
I don't care.
The barbs will clip this.
Say what you want. Ooh, the gay guy with the podcast hates Nicki. Like, I don't, I fucking can't stand her, bro. Like, she's always been the most immature one in any spat that she's having. Not that I'm saying Cardi is like, you know, a fucking beacon of, you know, maturity. But like, it's just, she is just gross. Like, her relationship choices, the people she surrounds herself with, just how she carries herself. Like, I just, there's nothing redeeming about that woman. If she wasn't this good at music, she would be in fucking no, like, there's just nothing there.
Yeah, I think it's very clear at this stage of her life.
She's a lame.
Yeah, I think she's in a echo chamber of.
Oh, 1,000%. You know,
it's so her you know, her life is so insular in the sense that, like,
it's like Lil Wayne.
Her, I mean, her stan base is kind of like the poster child of like toxic stanning.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like they go after people, they dox people. We joke about, oh, the Barbs will get after you, but like the Barbs really.
Yeah, but they bark after their leader. That's the energy that Nikki gives off. It's like they're going to follow suit. If you tell them to attack, they're gonna bite.
That's like, what I mean. They're as delusional as she is. And it's unfortunate because it's like, you know, Nikki has a kid. Nikki is like older now. She shouldn't be more mature. She shouldn't be like leading these mobs.
Yeah.
To direct hate at people for like, bro, this whole SZA shit happened because, well, Nikki says this wasn't the root of it, but like Punch, TDE Punch, tweets Broken Barbies, which is him promoting this artist he's like managing, yeah, called I Am Lyric, who just dropped this song, not affiliated with TDE. She drops a song called Broken Barbies, and Nikki from there uses that as her segue to just go ballistic on him, sends a sneak diss at, well, sends a shot at SZA along the way, and a sneak diss at Dochi randomly, which sucks because Dochi shouted out Nikki in her motherfucking, like 2 years ago, but goes ballistic. SZA, who, my Jersey queen, shout out to SZA, you know what I mean, don't forget she's from fucking Jersey, claps back calmly. It's like, I'm on fucking world tour right now, what the fuck are we on? And Nikki just goes into the night screaming at the ether.
Yeah, the one of the chunks from Nikki's tweet is, does SZA think she's more successful than me? LOL, y'all catch me up, please. SZA, if every song you've ever done vanished right now, the music business wouldn't even miss you. I've been to countries that never heard of you. And then it's much more than that, but that's just a piece of
some of it. It's sad, bro. And it's like, it's coming to a point where I think it's been stopped being like a thing of entertainment. And it's increasingly becoming a thing of like, dog, like, do you need help for real? Like, do you need somebody in your corner to be like, yo, go on a social media break, bro? Like, you're tweaking. Like, I don't know who's in her side that'll be like, you're crashing out.
Yeah, I mean, she go draw your freckles back on, Buki, liar, liar, pants on fire, sounding like a fucking dead dog. Like, I mean, this woman, she's like, what, 50?
Yeah, I know Drake one point might have been her, like, chill out person, like, to tell her to chill. I don't know who that is, but it's like, this shit is sad. And it's like, it's really getting to the point of, like, asking the question of, like, does she need help? Like, does she dead ass need to seek some type of, like, I don't know, something.
Yeah, I think your initial point's right. The echo chamber. I mean, like, she can do that Queen Radio thing and have, you know, 2-3 million plus people on there, like, you know, clamoring at every sentence she says and co-signing and validating every opinion that she holds. It's just like, living in that space is dangerous. But like, also, how does one escape that? That's the other thing. It's like, good luck. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what you say, people, it's the Trump thing. It's like, this guy can say whatever the fuck he wants. They're like, yeah, I guess that's how we feel now.
Type shit.
He's currently trying to, it's first time in his fucking life, it's not working with this Epstein shit. Like,
yeah.
He's trying to throw the scent off the trail with that. And everyone's like, wait, no, not on that one.
You saw Stephen A. He was like, I don't give a fuck if Trump was on the Epstein list. Like, that doesn't affect my life. I'm like,
yeah, but that's not the approach you should have on that topic.
That's also not the point. It's like, yeah, yes, of course, what?
Yeah, no shit, that doesn't affect your fucking life.
But that doesn't mean it's not important. And he was like, Stephen A. was like, I don't understand why people are so outraged at this. It doesn't affect your day-to-day. It's like, and again, I saw this clip.
Also, that is one of the laziest takes that people always try to like enforce when they don't have the words to actually articulate why this is something that actually matters. Drake doesn't affect our life. Nothing we've said on the show affects our day-to-day. But guess what? It fucking matters, and we talk about it because it's shit that matters. Mm-hmm. I hate that. It's so lazy. Why do you really feel? Because I'm a fucking human, and I'm reacting to big moments from people that are looked at as, like, you know, successful career artists and athletes. Like, why the fuck do you talk about LeBron for 20 years?
Type shit.
Does he affect your life? Yeah, he does, actually. He probably affects his life quite a bit. But like, none of that shit, Matt. Like, it's such a lazy thing to say. I hate that. That's, I hate when people do that.
It's stupid. But how do we get to Epstein? Oh, the Trump of it all.
The Nikki to Epstein pipeline. Type which shit. Her husband, you know, he's right there. He could have been on the island if he was a little older.
And I haven't seen him in a minute. Like,
yeah,
I haven't seen,
well, you know, I hang around too many schools. And
yeah, you know, watch list. Can't go out with her. So fucking crazy, bro. It's like, and again, the Barbs find ways to defend this shit.
Of course, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, my uncle was a pedophile. What? What do you mean?
It's just like...
So it's cool?
You know, so often do I think about how even the term stan was something that obviously Eminem coined.
Yeah.
And the whole point of him coining that phrase was like the music video, the song, the purpose is like, don't be this
You're
guy.
A fucking weirdo.
And now people use that phrase and that label as almost a badge of honor.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, I'm a Nicki stan. I stan this person.
But you know what it is now too? Like when M said it, there was no like stat that could support that. It's like, yeah, if you're that guy, you're a fucking weirdo, because it's just, but now it's like with Reddit threads and, mm-hmm, and Instagram posts and fan pages, like you can say you're a stan, but it can be validated by how many followers that account has. Mm-hmm. I'm Nicki's number one fan account. I have 2 million followers on Instagram. Like, Nicki follows back like for like. She's liked this account 20 times. Like, there's stats that validate that behavior, which, like, on these live streams, if she engages with a comment, like, so-and-so said this. Like, there are metrics now that give these people even more to, like, crash out over. Yeah. It's like, Nicki follows me on Instagram, I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, where in the stan days, it's like, you know, this loser kid that's just writing letters in his basement.
Yeah, it's like stan inflation, because in that time, in that era, to be considered a stan, you have to legitimately be a stalker, which
yeah,
is what Eminem was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you have to go to every show, you have to, like, wait for every autograph, you have to know what he was doing, and you can only do that by legitimately stalking
following him on the road.
Because there was no social media. Now, it's way more accessible because of social media, where it's like you could follow someone, and people who follow, like the parasocial relationship of it all.
Yeah.
You think that someone who you follow and keep up with, you know.
Bro, there's like Reddit karma. People look at that shit like it's, you know,
crazy.
Like,
bro,
that's my level of fandom is contingent upon how much karma I get on the thread or how many likes I receive on a post. It's, mm-hmm, like, that is a terrifying way to live, but also like can kind of lets me understand why Nicki and those certain artists like that are the way they are, because they know they have people like that that no matter what, mm-hmm, that's my, you know, I'll ride or die for that shit.
And there's a lot of them. It's like, I don't know where the critique comes in. I don't know where, like, the self-reflection comes in, because this shit obviously doesn't think she's in the wrong. Like,
no
I yeah. saw that, you know,
she's never once apologized ever.
Yeah, it's like she, and no, I don't think she ever will. I think we're just past that.
Not in her nature,
you know, especially
grown woman.
Especially because she also has this status and stature of being, of doing what she's done in the rap game. So she's accomplished so much. She is in a rarefied air in that sense, but she uses that to validate her very, very negative behavior.
Yeah.
You know, which is sure. like, yeah, very unfortunate. So
Jordan, I can't thank you enough for coming here. We've been friends for, we actually timestamped it April of whatever. Well, I don't know. It was you DM'd me like 3 or 4 years ago. We just became boys ever since then. Two real OG Dream Villains in this bitch.
Big Dream Bill.
One of the very few people in hip hop media that I respect, not only their opinion, but also just as like a genuine person and as a friend. We spent our 4th of July weekend together, which is what prompted us to actually record together today. Some great conversations that we continue to have off mic. I'm happy to have one on mic and come back, man. Now that your offices are nearby.
Dog, listen, I walked here from the office, man.
It's beautiful, bro.
And look,
I love
it. To give you your flowers, thank you first for having me on the show. But second, to like see how you've built this out, like obviously turning a bad situation into a positive. It's something that a lot of motherfuckers cannot do.
Yeah, to cover a tattoo. No,
yeah, great way to bring it back to the episode. But like, not for real, bro, to like produce this yourself, edit this shit yourself,
yeah,
get the equipment is like the type of ambition and drive that a lot of niggas don't have, because like they think that potting is easy and it's not.
This shit sucks.
So like, but you doing it and you're feeding the streets. So I appreciate you. You know,
see you on the list next year, buddy.
Shy.
Yeah.
My dog. Thank you for having me, interview. For real.
Yeah, for real. Thank you, everybody. This is episode 27 of Something Wrong With The Podcast. I appreciate you. Have a good week. God bless. All that stuff. Peace.
Peace. Shit, man. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.